as part of our Baroque Spring. The early music show, Lucy Skeeping, will be looking at the importance of Lutheran chorales in the sacred music of the German Baroque. And the programme includes a complete Bach cantata. That's in a couple of minutes. Now, though, it's 1 o'clock, and here's the latest BBC News. The government's welfare changes have been attacked as unjust by the Baptist, Methodist and United Reformed Churches and the Church of Scotland. They say cutting benefits will place a disproportionate burden on the most vulnerable. David Cameron's released an Easter message in which he says that faith institutions play an incredible role in society. Yesterday, the Prime Minister was accused of feeding anxieties among Christians by the former Archbishop of Canterbury, Lord Carey. The new Archbishop of Canterbury has celebrated his first Easter as the head of the Anglican Communion. The Most Reverend Justin Welby warned against what he called the mistake of pinning hopes on individuals. In Rome, Pope Francis celebrated his first Easter Mass and prayed for peace to be restored to the Middle East and the Korean Peninsula. The Metropolitan Police says its inquiries are continuing into the altercation between officers and the former Cabinet Minister Andrew Mitchell in Downing Street last September. Mr Mitchell has lodged an official complaint with Scotland Yard, claiming details of the police report on the matter were leaked. He denies calling officers plebs. The 8 regional police forces in Scotland will be merged into a single national organisation at midnight tonight. Critics are concerned that local accountability will be lost. Teachers have attacked government plans to overhaul the school curriculum in England as a backward step. Members of the National Union of Teachers, meeting in Liverpool, have said the proposals will encourage a return to Victorian-style rote learning. The changes, which put a greater emphasis on arithmetic, spelling and knowledge of history, come into force next year. Security for today's university boat race has been increased after it was interrupted last year by a protester in the water. Royal Marines will be helping to protect the Oxford and Cambridge crews. And the weather. A dry afternoon for most, with a good deal of sunshine, although it will still feel very cold for the time of year. It'll be cloudier in southern and eastern counties, with a chance of isolated light wintry showers, and it'll be breezy in the west and southwest. And that's the news and weather on BBC Radio 3 at 1:02. In an hour's time, we go live to Tredegar House in Wales to join Katie Derham and Brecon Baroque for a Baroque Spring live Sunday concert. And then at 4, we've choral evensong from Manchester Cathedral. But before that, now it's time for today's early music show, introduced by Lucy Skeeping. No.
Recognise that tune from church, maybe, or perhaps like me, from singing in school assembly. If so, then you might know it as the English hymn Now Thank We All Our God. But what we've just heard was the original German version of it, Nun Danket aller Gott, a chorale that would have been sung in a Lutheran church in northern and central Germany back in the time of Bach. Of course, a couple of centuries earlier, before the Reformation, sacred music in the Catholic Church was always sung in Latin and only by the clergy from the choir stalls. The congregation's job was to listen to it and to experience it from afar, you could say. But in the 1500s, the great reformer Martin Luther began to question this. He wanted to involve everyone in the service, not just the church professionals, to make the singing accessible to all. And the first thing he needed to do was to translate the words into German so they could be understood. But it wasn't just the words that needed a rethink. the old plain song melodies weren't metered. They didn't follow a strict rhythm. So Luther and his followers adapted them, turning them into separate stanzas with a set number of beats so they could be easily sung by large congregations all together in unison. Luther also adapted popular tunes to make chorales, and he wrote new ones too, as did other like-minded people such as Johann Kruger, who's thought to have written Nun danket alle Gott that we've just heard, and amongst many others, the lovely Jesu meine Freude, which Bach so beautifully incorporated into his motet BWV 227. In today's programme, we're going to hear just how these German chorales were set by various composers during the Baroque era, so that they became embedded into the Reformed church tradition. In fact, they could be delivered to the congregation in all sorts of ways during the services. Often they weren't sung at all, but played instrumentally, as an organ prelude, for example, which could offer a highly elaborate setting of the basic tune. Here's the chorale we've just heard, only this time set for organ by J.S. Bach.
Thank you.
Organist John Butt with Bach's Organ Prelude BWV 657, a setting of the chorale melody known as Nun Danket aller Gott. And even though Bach gives the tune all long and drawn out with all sorts of wonderful stuff going on underneath, we can be pretty sure that a fair few people who heard it in the Lutheran church back in the 18th century would have recognised it as a favourite chorale. Another way these chorale melodies found their way into German sacred music was as part of the so-called chorale concerto, or motet for voices and instruments in the new Baroque style. And for this, at the turn of the 17th century, German composers looked to Venice for inspiration. People like Michael Pretorius, who left us with some particularly brilliant Baroque settings with this Italian flavour. These days, Pretorius is probably best known, to early musicians anyway, for his delightful collection of dance music entitled Terpsichore, foot-tapping little pieces you can play on just about anything from recorders and fiddles to sackbuts and cornets. But although he was first and foremost a court musician, he was also a very much respected church kapellmeister. And as he neared his 60th year, he set about producing a gigantic collection of chorale settings entitled, deep breath, Polyhymnia Caduceatrix et Panegyrica. It was an incredibly ambitious project, much of it inspired by the great Monteverdi, who himself had set old plain chants in his famous Vespers around the same time. Pretorius's idea was to unite the old styles of music with the very latest ones from Italy, techniques he'd learned from poring over the many Italian manuscripts and prints he had on his shelves. Unfortunately, ill health got in the way of his master plan, and instead of the hoped-for 15 volumes, just three, containing some 40 pieces in all, were published in 1617, the year that marked the centenary of the Reformation. We're going to hear one of them in a moment. The motet O Lamm Gottes Unschuldig, performed by singers with lutes, viols and organ. But first, let's hear the plain, unadulterated version of the same chorale, as it might have been sung by the congregation. O Lamb of God, most innocent, slaughtered upon the cross, patient through all thy sorrows, who bears for us all our sins.
O Lamb Gottes Unschuldig,
thank you.
O Lam, Gottes und Schuldig, a motet by Michael Pretorius, performed by La Cappella Ducale and Musica Fiata, directed by Roland Wilson. And before that, we heard Nicholas Mulroy and the University of Glasgow Chapel Choir, directed by James Grossmith, with the basic chorale melody by Niklaus Detzius, upon which the motet was based. As the 17th century progressed, there was a growing taste in church music for the sort of virtuosity normally associated with the secular. Composers recognised that faith could be celebrated in joyful, vivid and technically demanding works, and they began to incorporate chorales within Italianate cantatas, extended works with lots of movements or sections that were heard as part of the normal Sunday service in the churches of the major German cities. So, since this is the season for it, let's hear one of those for Easter Sunday, Christ lag in Todesbanden. Christ lay in the bonds of death, which describes Jesus' suffering and dying on the cross, how he took away the sins of the world, and how his rising again should be celebrated. It's by Johann Pachelbel. Yes, he of the canon fame. But of course, he did write quite a lot of other things as well. And like so many German composers, he too was influenced by the florid, almost operatic Italian style, which I think you can hear quite a bit of here, along with the older fugal style. The original chorale, or hymn, was based on the Latin chant Victime Paschali Laudes and was a joint effort between Martin Luther and Johann Walter, one of the most important composers for the early Reformed Church. Pachelbel took their text and made a set of variations, one for each of the seven verses of the original. It may be a highly sophisticated work, but we can still feel the sense, the purpose of the Lutheran philosophy in its simplicity and directness, the way it speaks so clearly in the German language, of course, to ordinary people. Like the fourth verse, which talks of the wondrous war Jesus fights between life and death. Life took the victory, we're told, as the accompaniment gives us fanfares and battle-like rhythms. It also tells of the Easter Lamb, whose blood marks our door, the stranger cannot touch us. Words of comfort that surely every member of the congregation could feel in his or her heart. And finally, we're given almost folksy images. We celebrate the high feast, we eat and live well. Christ wants to be our food. And as the mystical story unfolds, from the pain of the crucifixion to the joy of the risen Christ, each verse ends with an uplifting hallelujah.
Halleluja, halleluja, halleluja.
Christ lag in Todesbanden, a cantata for Easter Sunday by Johann Pachelbel, performed there by La Cappella Ducale and Musica Fiata, directed by Roland Wilson. It's a work that almost certainly had a major influence on Bach's early cantata of the same name. And you might like to know, by the way, that Bach's own setting can be heard here on Radio 3 tomorrow in John Elliott Gardiner's Bach Marathon. And it's Bach's use of chorales in general that's so very remarkable. We find them in his Passions, of course, and in his organ preludes, which are based on their melodies, not to mention in his dazzling set of canonic variations for organ on the Christmas chorale Vom Himmel Hoch. But when it comes to cantatas, well, Bach is just extraordinary, not just for quality, but for the sheer quantity as well. By 1723, he was in his new post in Leipzig as cantor of St. Thomas's Church. He was also in charge of most of the public music making in the city, including all four main churches and all the singers and the players who worked in them. And he threw himself into it all with energy and enthusiasm, producing in his first 5 years alone more than 300 cantatas. From the start, Bach set out with the intention of composing what he called regulated church music. In other words, a cycle of cantatas for the complete church year. He ended up writing 5 cycles in all, and the one we're going to hear now to end the programme was written for Advent Sunday in 1724. It closely follows Martin Luther's original hymn text, Nun komm der Heiden Heiland. And we hear the message of the chorale throughout. The opening and closing choruses incorporate the first and last verses, while the alternating arias and recits in between stray from the tune but freely paraphrase the text. The joyful tenor aria, Marvel, O Man, at this great mystery, for instance, or the bass aria that follows, a majestic call to arms, Fight, conquer, mighty hero. As for the original chorale melody, well, at the start it moves around, rather as it might feature in an organ prelude. It's first heard in the bass continuo, then it moves up into the strings and oboes before taking its place in the lively soprano line for the first chorus. Now come, saviour of the heathens, recognised as child of the Virgin. All the world marvels that God ordained such a birth. And there's no mistaking the melody in the final chorus either, where Bach delivers it loud and clear in one of his own gorgeously harmonised 4-part settings. Praise be to God the Father, praise be to God his only Son, for ever and all eternity. So I hope you'll have a go at following the chorale line as you listen. This energetic performance is by the Monteverdi Choir and English Baroque Soloists, directed by John Elliott Gardiner. And just in case it helps, let's hear it first as an organ prelude, played by Simon Preston. Bach's Nun komm der Heiden Heiland. Thank you.
Gott soll's dir, Gott soll's dir, die Welt.
dies große Geheimnis. Verwundet, o Menschen, dies große Geheimnis, der höchste Herrscher erscheint der Welt. Aus Gottes Herrlichkeit und Thron sein eingeborener Sohn, der Held aus Juda bricht herein, den Weg mit Freudigkeit zu laufen und uns Gefallene zu erkaufen. O heller Glanz! sei geschäftig, das Vermögen in uns Schwachen, stark zu machen, das Vermögen in uns Schwachen, stark zu machen, sei geschäftig, das Vermögen in uns Schwachen, stark zu machen. Sei geschäftig in uns Schwachen, das Vermögen stark zu machen, in uns Schwachen. Sei geschäftig, das Vermögen in uns Schwachen stark zu machen, in uns Schwachen stark zu machen. Siegestarket, sei vor uns im Fleische kräftig, im Fleische kräftig. Streite, Siegestarket, streite, Siegestarket, sei vor uns im Fleische kräftig. Streite, siegestarker Held, streite, siegestarker Held, sei vor uns im Fleische kräftig, vor uns im Fleische kräftig, vor uns im Fleische kräftig.
Cantata Nun komm der Heidenheiland by Johann Sebastian Bach, BWV number 62. It was performed by the Monteverdi Choir and the English Baroque Soloists, conducted by Sir John Elliot Gardiner. And the soloists were the soprano Nancy Argenta, the mezzo-soprano Petra Lang, the tenor Anthony Rolf Johnson and the bass Olaf Baer. Before it, we heard Bach's organ prelude on the same chorale melody, BWV 599, played by Simon Preston. And those were the final pieces in today's Early Music Show, which has been taking a look at uses of the German Lutheran chorale. The programme was introduced by Lucy Skeeping. And as Lucy mentioned, there's more Bach tomorrow on Radio 3. Looking ahead to that, here's Catherine Bott.
The climax of BBC Radio 3's Baroque Spring. John Elliott Gardiner's Bach Marathon, live from the Royal Albert Hall. 9.5 inspiring hours of music celebrating Johann Sebastian Bach. The day culminates in a performance of the composer's towering choral masterwork, that extraordinary sacred musical collage that Bach assembled in the last years of his life, the B minor Mass. Tomorrow on BBC Radio 3 from 1 o'clock.
And by the way, if you missed Sir John Elliott Gardiner's portrait of Bach, which was shown on BBC Two last night, then that's available for the next 7 days via the BBC iPlayer. I just watched it myself this morning, and I must say it's a great story, compellingly told. Do go and have a look at that. And while you're catching up with things that you may have missed, then don't forget yesterday's Music Matters, in which Tom Service was talking to a variety of guests about the changes in performance of baroque music over the last 40 years. Christopher Hogwood, Sir Roger Norrington and Nicholas Arnoncourt among his guests. That's Music Matters, available via the Radio 3 website. This is BBC Radio 3. It's 2 o'clock now. Time for Baroque Spring Live, a concert direct from Tredegar House in Wales, where we join Katie Derham.
Hello and welcome to Tredegar House in South Wales for the last of our Baroque Spring Live Sunday concerts from National Trust Properties, hearing wonderful Baroque music in some of the country's great Baroque houses. Tredegar House was the family home of the enormously wealthy industrialists, the Morgans, and has been described as the most impressive restoration house in Britain. I should come clean. We're not actually in the house, we're in the stables, but these aren't just any stables. The Morgans really did love their horses, and they built them a home almost as impressive as their own. Indeed, back in the 1980s, when the Prince and Princess of Wales came to visit, they stopped their car just outside where we are, assuming they'd reached the front door of the house. You'll be able to hear more about the Morgans and their home in the interval when I'm shown around by National Trust guy Deru Thomas and my regular guest Lars Tharp from the Antiques Roadshow. And if you'd like a sneak preview of our surroundings today, do go to the BBC website, bbc.co.uk/baroquespring. There are some great pictures and a little video. But on to this afternoon's music. The Ensemble Brecon Baroque are standing by behind me to perform a programme of outstanding and engaging period music, including several pieces for the theatre by Henry Purcell. But I mentioned that the Morgans loved their horses, and indeed one particularly trusty steed who carried his rider safely into and out of the charge of the Light Brigade is buried under a very grand monument in the garden here. So it seemed rather fitting that our first composer famously wrote a ballet for horses. Now, we're not going to actually hear that, but we are going to hear a piece which sits very comfortably in these surroundings. It's dance music evoking events at a fencing school, written by the Austrian Johann Heinrich Schmelzer. It's the last of its 6 movements. It's called the Bader Aria, or the Barber Surgeon's Song, which depicts the application of the bandages following a duel, which surely has to be a first in music. To bring the whole thing to life for us, please welcome Brecon Baroque, led by Rachel Podger.